Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Believe in Steelers show. I'm Mark Bergen, joined as always by my guy Swag and You, two-time Super Bowl champion, Pittsburgh Steelers scout Ike Taylor. IT, it is a Friday. We are less than a week away from the 2024 NFL draft. What's up, brother?
Yeah, it's been a minute. I haven't seen you in a while. You've been working like crazy. I've been working like crazy. Finally got a little downtime from Pittsburgh. So, I mean, we right here. The draft is next week.
Yes, Ike. We'll be talking about a lot of special teams, special players. I'm very excited to talk draft with you. And we're less than a week away. So let's get right into it. I have some questions for you, though. With your scouting responsibilities, you've obviously been through this as a player, now in year two as a scout. And that's where I want to start today's discussion is, how does this year compare to last year when you did this for the very first time as a scout?
Offensive lineman, getting very insightful on how to describe and what to look for in an offensive lineman. I think just from my short span, offensive lineman might be some of the hardest to grade because, you know, anything on the exterior, cornerbacks, wide receivers, anything dealing with skilled players that move fast, running backs and linebackers, safeties, that's cool. But them offensive linemen, man, you got to have an eye. Like, I thought I had an eye, but I got to get another eye. When you want to talk about these offensive linemen, because it's a special but different group. Mark, like, to see, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 320 pounders move the way they move, but it ain't even, like, moving forward. It's them being agile as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's a reason I was just playing when I was playing with my offensive linemen when I called them the big sexes. But it's legit. They're the big sexes of the world. Because any other typical human being who 6'4", 6'5", 330-something pounds, a lot of people would call them out of shape. But to see these guys in my world, which is the football world, move like polar bears, it's very impressive, you know? So, man, that's probably the biggest thing I've had to have appreciation for, one, having the eye to grade an offensive lineman, two, appreciate how well these big men move. Because it's not a lot of them in the world that can move like that.
Is that what you mean by polar bears, Ike? I think I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure our listeners and viewers know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, when I say polar bears, I'm talking about the big offensive linemen. I don't know if anybody watched, because I'm huge on, you know, National Geographics. I like all that animal planet. I like all that stuff. And grizzlies and polar bears, they're big animals, but they're agile and they can move. So when I'm talking, and we're like combating, and we thinking about, when I say a big lineman can move like a polar bear, just think of how bears move and how the size of these bears and how agile these bears can move. I'm talking about these offensive linemen as well. So when I say that, it ain't nothing but a plus. It's plus, plus, plus. That's an A grade when I'm talking about one of these guys moving as a polar bear.
Like, I'm stacking up on my camouflage if a polar bear's coming after me. So. Before we get too far along, let's pay some bills. Like, today's episode brought to you by betonline.ag. There's a lot you can wager on, both with NBA, NHL playoffs underway, and with next week's draft. You want to place a bet on any of the action, betonline.ag is the place
to do it. 365, 24/7, regardless on what sport it is. Make sure y'all check out betonline.ag.
You can see on your screen right now our promo code, BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started over at BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts. But Ike, there's a ton I want to ask you, and a few questions for you is, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self looking back on your draft experience and now that you've been through this several times?
Nothing. Like, I'm a work in progress. I wouldn't want to change nothing, Mark. Like, for me, I want to be uncomfortable. I want to walk into the unknown. That's the only way I'm gonna get better as a person. So I wouldn't change. When it comes down to football, my experiences, I wouldn't change nothing. Actually, that's a hell of a question. You know, I just give it to my son now. So whatever I didn't do while I was playing, I just give him the advice while he's young now, and he takes over for that. But for me, nah. The only thing I would probably say I should have done more was sleep.
Okay. Well, you were telling me that you were in like a 30-day span, like 25 different cities, going to interview with different teams, going to work out with different teams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you talking about my travel leading up to the draft. Yeah, I think I did 25 and 31 days, or 27 and 31 days, 30 days. Yeah.
They should have set up a cot for you on the plane, Ike. Just set up me like, this is Ike's section. That's crazy.
Loved every bit of it, too. Interviewing. Yeah. Interviewing. Oh, speaking of interviews, coming from a front office perspective.
Sure.
Man, I don't know if it's college or the NFL, but a lot of these kids have a hard time interviewing when it comes down to like combine and sitting down with coaches. My personal opinion, and I'm just going to throw it out there. This is like off script. I'm just going to throw it out there. Us the scouts need to understand when we're interviewing some of these guys, it's like their first interview. They don't have jobs because they've been playing football for a long time. So I can understand some of the nervousness. If a guy's getting interviewed by a team, I can understand that they might not tell the truth on a few answers that we already know a few answers that we already know the question to. But I just want some of the scouts and people in the front office world to understand a lot of these kids, this their first time going for interviews. So it's going to be a huge adjustment. If they're nervous, the way they talk, if they're not answering the correct way. So we got to understand that part from a front office and a scouting and a coaching standpoint as well. You know, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, first time getting interviewed because they've been playing sports their whole life. They're going to have a lot of nervousness with them. And that's what I wanted to say before we get started. So I just wanted from the front office, in a coaching standpoint, in a combine standpoint, I want the coaches to understand, the scouts to understand, the GM to understand, like, they're going to be nervous because it's their first interview. So you got to put yourself in their shoes. Picture you going on your first interview. You was nervous as well. So I just want both sides to have some kind of understanding. On the flip side, coming from a player perspective, and let me talk to the players.
Yeah.
Who's getting interviewed? We already know the answer. So don't lie. If a coach, if a scout, if a GM asks you a question, there's no reason for you to lie. They already got the answer. So going on to tell the truth on what's going on. If somebody asks you a question, just give them a straight up answer. But don't tell on yourself, is what I won't say. Don't give out information that we don't ask for. What I would tell them from a player's perspective. Players, don't do that. If they ask you the question, they 99.9% they got the answer already. So just be straight up. My bad, Mark.
No, you're fine. Is that a generational thing or is that just more a life experience thing? I mean, I think about this where I've been in the media space for a decade, right? Where if someone asks me a question of what kind of content do you produce? What do you do on a day in, day out basis? Answer the question, get in, get out. Don't dwell too long. Hey, if you want more specifics, ask me. Is that a generational thing? Is that just a life and job interview thing? What is that, Ike?
Man, that's just natural. You know what I'm saying? Some people not comfortable in talking in front of other people. Some people very comfortable. Like I always been comfortable in talking. So, but I know a lot of people who are uncomfortable in talking and interviewing. So I know for my first time, I probably wasn't that comfortable in talking to somebody. So I just want our world to understand, the front office world to understand. It's probably their first interview ever. So of course they're gonna be nervous as heck. And they might lie about a few things, but heck, I don't know. But then again, like I just said on the flip side, Mark, from a player standpoint, like players, if one of these guys in the front office asks you a question, 9 times out of 10 they know the answer.
Were you getting advice when you were coming into the league as a rookie on how to answer?
Hell no.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just flyby. So that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm speaking on this right now. Ain't nobody prep me to. Ain't nobody prep me. But really, this is the prep right here. So we're going to post this, and I hope this go out on both sides. Front office got to understand where these kids coming from on their first interview. You know, and players got to understand who's getting interviewed. Like, if they're asking me a question, they damn near know the answer.
Yeah, I look at it from the standpoint of like I am very much a millennial, right? But we have Gen Z now, where I have coworkers that are much younger and much more adept at what's going on social media, what is trending, what is on TikTok, what, you know, things that I understand, but I'm not as plugged into. Also work with Gen X, also work with some baby boomers, and how I communicate with each group of people is going to be much different. It's going to be much, much different in maybe trying to communicate the same thing, but in the way that I deliver it, that it makes sense to that person. So when you're telling me that, when you're also telling me your very first job interview, anyone listening or watching this, think about the very first job interview for a position that you really wanted, what that experience was like. Ike, fascinating stuff there.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. It was on my mind, so I had to say that.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, you did.
One question I want to ask you before we get into some of the Steelers preps and we get into the top linemen, Ike, I want to ask you about is the night before the draft. What is that sleep like as a player? Like,
no, I was playing the PlayStation.
What were you playing?
I was playing Madden all the way up top. Like I had some people come over, but to keep it 100, which is like, I thought I was going to be a free agent, to be honest with you, because I only played 1 year. All I told myself was, man, I just need to get in the dough. If I get in the dough, I'll take care of the rest. But, you know, start sliding down, and my phone was ringing. Washington was the first team that called me. So at the time, it was the Washington Redskins. They hit me. They're like, we about to draft you. Then the next phone call came from that 412, right? And when it, thank you, man. When it came from that 412, you know, Coach Kyle and Kevin Colbert said, how would you feel being a Steeler? I said, oh, well, there goes with Washington. But yeah, I was gonna be a Washington Redskin at the time. That was the name of the team. But Pittsburgh got me. And you see what hat I got on, you see what shirt I got on. I'm always repping.
in an alternate world, like Ike Taylor is a member of the Washington Redskins, would have been, it's fascinating to think about, but certainly I'm happy he wound up in Pittsburgh.
Man, God yeah. been blessing me, Mark. I'm so glad I got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I be clowning, but I be for real when it comes down. When I say I'm a Rooney, like, you know, they really took me into their family.
I can attest, Ike. I've been in the 412 with you, boots on the ground, and it's just like it's unbelievable when we were there this past fall for Steelers Ravens.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh, the city itself, just kind of adopted Ike Taylor, one of their very own, and the Rooneys, you know. They call me family, and you know I love them as a family. So the whole just like city of Pittsburgh, I couldn't ask for a better city, a better family, a better organization, better coaching staff, better teammates. Like I couldn't ask for nothing better.
Like I know you've been in a lot of meetings with draft preparations,
right?
Just what's an average day like when you wake up? I know you've been on a lot of Zoom meetings. You've been on a lot of in-person meetings at the facility. Just walk us through an average day leading up to the draft when you were in Pittsburgh, boots on the ground.
Get up at 6 o'clock, go work out. Cause we got meetings at 8:30. So get up at 6 o'clock, go work out before meetings. Then after the 8:30 meetings, you know, we'll have what position we'll talk about. So we'll talk about the positions. Then after we'll talk about the positions, we'll talk about it, you know, with the coach at that position or coaches at that position. And we'll just line the players and the grades up. And, you know, the coaches get to speak their opinion on, you know, who they like, what they like. And, you know, the big boys, the commissioners, and what I mean by that, you know, Coach T, Mr. Art, Mr. Dan, Andy, and Omar, them boys sit in the front, so they'll talk, and they'll ask for evaluations on the players, the guys who went to the schools and got the evals and all that. And then after that, that's throughout the whole day. So it just depends on how long that list is between us, you know, staying to whatever time, you know. And Coach T said best, we get paid by the wins, we won't get paid by the hours. So some days you get out early, some days you get out there late, but just sitting up in that draft room, man, there's just a lot of good discussion going on, you know. So that's how I feel about it.
Are we talking like 8, 10, 12-hour days? Just
it don't matter, man. Some days it can be 4 days. Some days it can be 12 to 15. It just depends on the flow. And everybody comes in there wired for long days. So we already coming into the, like, you know, every day going to be a long day. You get out early, that's a bonus. But, yeah, that's how we wire ourselves. Like, it's... Today could be a 12 to 15 hour day.
But imagine the discussion gets pretty spirited with just the amount of film, the amount of access, the amount of information that you have on each player too.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on who like who. You know, if I really like somebody, I'm going to say it and I'm going to stand on it regardless on what other people may think. And that's just me. I'm gonna be detailed with it. I'm gonna say why I like them. A lot of people I like ain't the favorite. You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm gonna stand on mine. So if I like somebody, I like them because I saw what I saw on tape, and they tape showed me who they were. So that's what it is. But sitting in that draft room, man, that war room is. For me, it's the barbershop. And, you know, I don't mind going back and forth with nobody. It's just now we're in a professional environment and you're actually making dreams come true. At the same time, you're trying to get the best 7 or 8, how many draft picks you got to help your team.
And there's not that many at each position, Ike. We've talked about that many times where it's 250 plus, and
right.
You'll get some undrafted guys that can be just as good as guys that end up being drafted, just right. Given their opportunity, given the team that they go to, given the coaching that they receive and how they improve as players.
No, that's real. Man, it just feel good. It feel good on draft day to see these kids' names get called, everything they endured and went through. See the smiles on their faces, see the smiles on the family faces. It's just, that's what I get excited for. Like, and sometimes I get emotional, depending on what the story is, to see one of these guys get drafted. It's just like, golly, this kid that so far overcame a lot. Because a lot of these kids overcome a lot of adversity before they even get to this moment. A lot of these kids have to be the man of their house at 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just gratifying to see these kids get drafted and hear some of these stories, Mark.
I'm just trying to get to be like a fly on the wall and try to paint a picture for our viewers, Ike, of what that experience is like. And it's just been great talking with you about how you've been a part of this journey too in learn. Like, another question, and then we'll get to our top line. And I probably my last question is this, is what have you learned through osmosis? And what I mean by that is just being in the same room among a lot of people that have a lot of football experience in one of the elite franchises in all of sports. What have you picked up through just being there and listening?
Man, it's just a lot of work the scouts put in, bro. Like, that's why I take this job serious. Like, it's a lot of boots on the ground. They're away from their family during the fall season. The guys that do the college trips. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of info they got to gather that they do gather. It's a lot of work from a scouting standpoint. I don't think people have a clue how much time down the road away for their families. You know, I don't think people have a clue on how much information they get on a player, you know? So, and I feel like we got some of the best scouts. I feel like Calvin Fisher is one of the best scouts in the world. And I'm glad he's in the building. I feel like Sato is one of the best scouts in the world. I'm glad he's in the building. I feel like Dan Colbert, you know, Junior is one of the best, you know, scouts in the world. And he's in our building.
What makes you say that, Ike, about each of those three people? What is it about what they do?
I mean, Cal is like the OG. So Calvin Fisher, he like, he got an eye. He got an eye. His eval be on point. He don't care about the popular opinion. Sato been around for a long time with the Tulane or Omar, been around with the Saints, Sato, Chicago. Sato has a lot of unpopular, you know, people he liked too as well. He been doing it for a long time. DC, Dan Colbert Jr. just been around for a long time. So it's just like how Ivan grew up in the locker room when I was playing. Dan grew up in the locker room as well from a front office standpoint. So, I mean, we got hella good scouts. Don't get me wrong, I can go down the whole line. But I'm just saying, them three I just named right there. They all bring a different style to the table. But Cal, Fish. I'm just going to go ahead and give Fish his props. Fish that dude in the scouting world. He really is. Fish find a lot of Brett Keisels, Aaron Smiths. Fish stand on the table You know, he take pride on finding people at the bottom of the draft. People at the top, your first three rounds, that should be, I ain't gonna say easy, but you know, you jumping out of the plane with two parachutes, you know, from the fourth round on down to the seventh.
Yeah.
You know, you jumping out the plane with the Red Bull suit, that little squirrel suit. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. So it's harder. And he take pride in that. But yeah, man, our whole little crew we got up there.
Ike, you will have the go ahead, Ike. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, from me on all the way up, from me at the bottom all the way up to the top of them guys, them dudes. Them dudes good at what they do.
Ike, you've got
the it's just a good vibe. It's just a good vibe in that room too. Like, we all have our days. You know what I'm saying? We go back and forth sometimes, but you know, sometimes I gotta stir the pot and just say something unpopular just to get the talking, just to talking.
Ike, you have the analogy of the show right there, jumping off a plane with two parachutes. I'm not going to beat that. I'm not going to beat that today on today's episode.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's get to the top linemen in the draft. Yeah. We'll start with tackles. And Ike, I'll start with Notre Dame's Joe Alt.
Right.
I think he's probably going to go 5 to the Chargers. And here's where I'm at with Alt, right? I saw him play this last fall against NC State in my backyard in Raleigh. Watched more Notre Dame football than I typically do just because Notre Dame played a few of the triangle teams, also played Duke as well. Alt's one of those guys, great size at 6'8", a little bit, could maybe add a little bit of weight. And there was nothing that, like, when you watch the tape where I'm like, oh, he's a total mauler. But I swear, Alt to me is a guy who just always completes his assignment. Whichever guy he is lined up against, neutralized, taken care of, wins his one-on-one assignments, next play. There's nothing where it's like, oh, he's going to knock a guy on his ass. I don't see that. I've seen nastier linemen, but it's more so like, you're good if he's your left tackle. In like two seasons, he only allows one sack. That's why I've got Joe Alt as my top offensive tackle in this draft. Good technique. Again, not going to wow you in terms of tape where it's like, wow, but just a sound, solid blocker and someone that can protect a quarterback's blind side.
I mean, he's a son of a former offensive lineman. So, you know, the way you're describing him, and I'm just going to let you describe him. The way you're describing them, the way I would put it in one word, fundamentally sound. So he's gonna be a technician. He's gonna be where he need to be as far as like an offensive tackle standpoint, and it's gonna be hard to beat him. He's not gonna wow you with nothing fancy. He's not gonna wow you on being overly aggressive, but he's gonna smoke your ass being fundamentally sound. So that's how I would describe Joe Alt, but you just described him in so many words. I just broke it down.
Like, you're a little more concise, and I appreciate that insight. At number 2, go to Penn State. And apologies in advance to anyone listening or watching. There are a lot of players. Olu Fashanu. What I've noticed about Olu is this. Good size, 6'6", 313. Good job of picking up stunts and crossers at offensive tackle. But another thing I noticed with him in his run blocking, Ike, is his ability to take a defender and to move his defender outside the gap responsibility that the defender is responsible for. So that's what I noticed when Penn State needed to run the ball. Olu was the guy who was moving bodies at the line of scrimmage among the defensive players that he went against.
Bulldozer, alley cat fighter. That's the offensive lineman that, you know, don't love the pull. loves contact, loves violence, loves putting you on your back because, you know, we watching it on tape. Loves the game of football. So when you when, and when I say alley cat, I mean brawlers. You know, let's go to the bar, have a few drinks, and let's just beat people up outside. That's what you're talking about right there when you're making that kind of description. And that's exactly what he is.
Ike, I love every year when we do this, you talk about getting into a bar fight in an alley. Like, it's just like, let's rumble, man. I love it. The third tackle, I've got Amarius Mims out of Georgia, an intriguing prospect I've seen potentially linked to the Steelers. Ike, center right now with Pittsburgh, a bigger need because you need a center of some sort to snap the ball, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields back there. But I also look at it from the standpoint twofold for Pittsburgh, where it's like, at what point do you move Broderick Jones over to left tackle? And Dan Moore Jr., who's been a starter for several years now, in the final year of his contract.
Right. So who are we talking about, centers?
Well, no, I'm talking about Amarius Mims out of Georgia. It's like, I think that would be a possibility. See, yeah. This is what I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to do at 20, Ike, and I know you're limited in what you can say,
right.
But it's just like, what is the better positional value of, do you go after a tackle at 20? Do you trade up? Do you trade back? Who slides? Because potentially you could have four quarterbacks off in the top four draft. I think a lot of that's going to be dependent on what happens before Pittsburgh picks at 20.
Yeah, I look at Mims, I look at me, just raw, you know, still young in the game. Only have a couple of games under his belt. That's how I look at Mims, but has a lot of upside. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I look at Mims. Of stone bone freak of nature. Past the polar bear, I would go with Sasquatch. You know. you know, Sasquatch 7-something feet, live in the woods. You see him, then you don't see him. You just know he's a different kind of dude. That's how I would describe Mims. It's just he's super rough, you know. But he has a lot of upside.
And Ike, where I'm at with that too is I'm okay with the Georgia Steelers because we know what Pickens can do. We know what Mount Washington can do. We know what Broderick Jones can do. That familiarity would be really nice if he gets drafted to Pittsburgh, where it's like, oh, here's all my buddies from college, and then we're going to go dominate the league.
Some of them Georgia boys. Some of them.
Winning national titles, dominating the SEC, dominating the line of scrimmage, that nastiness. I'm just telling you, man, like a man can dream. A man can dream.
Okay. I respect that.
Kid out of Washington, Troy Fatanu, I liked as well, Ike. And then to round that out, Talese Fuaga out of Oregon State. Those were my final two tackles when it comes to offensive tackles in the 2024 draft.
So which one you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Fatanu out of Washington.
Big sexy. You know, when you see an offensive lineman who wears their jersey up, who has the personality of a linebacker / corner, but he's an offensive lineman. Oh yeah, I'm hanging with that kind of dude all day. So number 55 from Washington, catch him on tape. He's the only offensive lineman in college football that has a half jersey because he likes his physique. Not only does he like his physique, he's nasty as well, super athletic. So that impressed me on knowing his personality and the confidence he had in himself. So of course I'm gonna like him. Of course if he played with me on the team, I'm gonna kind of go along with him and see what we doing tonight. Because I know one thing, when we do go out, he's gonna be my bodyguard, one. Two, he's gonna have a whole lot of confidence.
Ike, I love it. And then Fuaga out of Oregon State, Ike.
Dog, just a straight up mauler, a throwback 1980s offensive lineman. You know, just want to maul you all day. He the type, when you watch his tape, and he's a big guy, he the type, when you watch his tape, he want to give you the extra on the ground. You know, he want the pancake. He want the pancake award. That's what he wants. Every time he's searching for that pancake award. So that's what I think when you say Fuagua. I'm thinking the pancake award guy.
Listen, I know our listeners love talking about quarterbacks and high flying receivers. The linemen are my favorite to talk about because we have IHOP, we have Denny's with the Grand Slam. I'll throw Bob Evans, Perkins in there. Love talking about the big guys up front. To recap, top five offensive tackles that I have: Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, okay, Olu Fashanu out of Penn State, Amarius Mims out of Georgia, Troy Fatanu out of Washington, Talese Fuaga out of Oregon State. Ike, let's get to interior offensive linemen.
All right.
And this is someone who's flying up a lot of draft boards. BetOnline sponsors our show, Ike. And Graham Barton out of Duke, someone I watched a lot in the triangle. And I mentioned his name too. BetOnline has his over-under draft position at 21.5. He was playing left tackle at Duke. And you say, okay, why is that? Well, you got to match up against – go ahead, Ike.
Hey, happy birthday, bro.
Oh, I appreciate that, brother. I'm just watching you and on the BMAC show right now.
Oh yeah, we doing a podcast. Me and Mark doing a podcast right now. Can I call you,
Mark? Who?
Mark Bergen, our show. So me and Mark Bergen doing.
Oh yeah.
But happy birthday! I'm gonna call you when we get off. Make sure we tell Troy happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Troy Polamalu. We will make sure we mention that at the end of the show. Unbelievable to be interrupted by Troy mid-pod, Ike. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. You mentioned my name to Troy Polamalu. My day is made.
Oh, my gosh. I got
you, man. Oh, man. Graham Barton, out of Duke.
Right.
He's playing left tackle. And the reason why, ACC football. You got to go up against the Florida States of the world, the Clemsons of the world, 4 or 5-star athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Duke traditionally doesn't recruit that high a caliber of recruit. But Graham Barton, what they did the last 2 years, and now Mike Elko, the head coach at Duke, is going to be the head coach at Texas A&M now. What was the recipe? It was ground and pound, and a lot's going to be made of Riley Leonard going from Duke to Notre Dame in the quarterback position. I'm telling you right now, Ike, Duke won football games running the ball, controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the clock, winning the turnover battle. It was Graham Barton up front with Duke, and on the other side of the ball, it was Dwayne Carter, who was the defensive tackle, and a 3-time captain for the team. That's how they won football games in the Mike Elko era. That's why Mike Elko has a new job over in College Station, Texas.
Yeah, so this is what I think about when I think about Graham Barton. You mix a grizzly bear, you put in a grizzly bear, you put in a ballerina, and you put in a lion. And when you say Graham Barton, that's how I feel and that's what I think about. This kid right here. And I'm going to leave it like that.
You said a grizzly bear, a lion, and what was the third one, Ike?
And what was my third one? Oh, ballerina. And what I mean by ballerina, how light he is on his feet.
So pretty much the whole Wizard of Oz is what I, that's how I hear that.
them people don't come around too often.
I know Barton has experience earlier in his career at Duke at playing center. I think he was playing out of position some at the college level. How that translates over to the pros, I think he'll be an interior lineman. I think he'll probably be a center in the NFL. So to see that transition will be fascinating to watch. But again, I'm telling you this right now, how Duke won football games, it was at the line of scrimmage. And they were saying, we're going to run the ball right at you. Try and stop us.
Yeah, that was an old school Duke mentality when it came down to running the ball. That was an old school Pittsburgh Steelers. When we had Jerome Bettis, Duke Staley, and Willie Parker, Verron Haynes, when we had all them guys. And we call it 4-5, maybe 6-man offense. Like when we're up by 3 in the fourth quarter and we had the ball and there was 6 minutes remaining on the clock, Coach Cowell at the time would be like, let's get in this six-man offense. Tell them where we about to run the ball at. Make sure they ain't gonna stop us. So when I look at Duke offensive line, that's how I look at Duke. It kind of triggers me into relapsing and going back to our offensive line and what we had, closing out a lot of games, and that was running the ball. You're taking the soul out of grown men when you talk about a six-man offense. You might throw one pass. You letting the clock run down, but you're also telling your opponent, I'm running the ball right here, and you ain't going to be able to stop.
Game over, Ike. I mean, game over. And if you want to see what I'm talking about with Graham Barton, pop on the tape, Duke-Clemson. Duke goes into that very first game. It was on Labor Day on a Monday night. Major upset in college football. Duke goes into that game like a 3-touchdown underdog. And yes, the game was at home. Ike, there was no one at the game because no one could believe that Duke was actually going to upset Clemson, and it happened. College game day came to Durham this year for the first time ever. I'm not talking about hoops. I'm talking about football on the gridiron. I like Graham Barton as a prospect. Let's keep it moving, though. Oregon's Jackson Powers Johnson. To me, when it comes to the center position, someone who has a lot of experience playing the center position, I don't know that he'll be a day one guy at this point. I think likely he'll be a day two guy. But would he potentially be there by the time the Steelers pick at 51? See, this is the dilemma where if you pick him at 20, you could probably get him a little bit later. But by the time you pick again at 51, I think he'll be off the board. But whichever team gets him, whichever team needs a center, this is why I really like him coming out of Oregon. I think he has a lot of experience controlling the line of scrimmage, getting your team set up, calling out opposing defenses, everything that you need when it comes to the center position.
Yes, at the center position, you got to be the quarterback of the offense. And that's what you're talking when you're talking about powers. You know, you got to be blessed with calling checks, calling mics, able to pull. It's hard for centers to pull, you know. You catch your center who can snap the ball and pull, snap the ball on time, snap it precise, and can pull. You're talking about a special center, but you're talking about powers when I say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Another guy to West Virginia's Zach Frazier as well. Very similar. A little bit more physicality from what I saw on tape two, but he's another guy where, Ike, we've talked about this on the pod. This is just my opinion. Between Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier, I'd be shocked if one of them is not a Pittsburgh Steeler by the end of next week. That's just where I stand with that.
Zach is a, you know, Zach personality, Zach style of play. Give me 100 acres. You know, I'm going to get up early in the morning. I got these animals I need to take care of. And matter of fact, give me 100 acres, but give me 100 acres in Alaska. You know, that's his mindset. So you know how hard it is waking up every day in the cold weather in Alaska with animals you got to take care of. You know how strong mentally you got to be to do that. You know the willingness you got to have to wake up and do that. And that's just the picture I'm trying to paint. What I'm talking about, Zach. Tough country, hard nose, son of a gun.
Strong hands too, Ike. I saw a clip of him, Brian Baldinger, over at the NFL Network does his Baldy's breakdowns. And there's the clip of him in the backyard brawl, West Virginia's big rivalry. Line of scrimmage, just getting the hands on the defensive lineman and just tossing an opposing defensive tackle to the ground like it's nothing. Violent hands, Ike.
Say it again. I like that.
Violent hands.
There we go.
A few other linemen I want to mention. Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. And then I've got one more, Ike. Last one is Zach Zinter out of Michigan. And I look at – let me start with Zinter.
Okay.
Blake Corum got a lot of praise. Michigan's going to have a ton of draft picks coming off the championship.
Right.
Michigan running the ball the last 2 years when they beat Ohio State for several years in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it goes back to, hey, we're going to run the ball and there ain't nothing that you can do to stop it. Corum gets a lot of the praise, and then it's like, okay, well, why does Corum get a lot of the praise? You talk about dominating the line of scrimmage. Michigan's been able to do that now for several years. The Wolverines finally put it all together and won the national championship this last year. But, you know, you go ahead.
Probably the best offensive line unit.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Who worked like a well-oiled machine as a unit. They probably had the best unit in all of college football when you want to talk about the Michigan offensive line. When I talk about a 6-minute offense, that's we're really talking about the Michigan offensive line unit. They running through the ball. You knew they was gonna run the ball. You couldn't stop them, and they had that mentality all the way to the national championship, and they stuck to what they were good at. And the strength to the Michigan Wolverines this year was running the ball. Usually, when you get caught up in these playoffs and you know, you want to have a shootout. We ain't shooting nobody out. You know, when we come up into the arena, the only type of gun we bring in is 12 gauges. You know, we don't want nothing that move fast. So if anybody know anything about, you know, shooting as a sport, you know, that 12 gauge, just a boom, boom, you hear that. And it's like, oh, Lord, have mercy. And that was Michigan. You know, they had that kick down. We ain't coming in through the window. We ain't coming in through the back door. Y'all know we coming in through the front door. So stop us. And that was Michigan offensive line as a unit. All of them had that kind of mentality sitting on the offensive line.
It wasn't just against Ohio State, Ike. And I look at the Ohio State games for the best rivalries in all of sports.
Right.
When you're running the ball for like more than 5 yards a carry, close to 10 yards a carry against your rival, against another school that also recruits 4- and 5-star players at every position. And then you say, oh, let's go and do that against Alabama in the college football semifinal game. The best of the best competition to where you can consistently control the line of scrimmage and run the football. You talk about that Michigan is a total unit. I've seen that the last 2 years now when it comes to Michigan and being able to run the ball.
Yeah, that's what Zach Zinter and his crew was doing. You know, that was just, Mark, they were just running the ball. But hey, y'all know our plays. We got like 5 plays. But can you stop us? No, you can't. They ran them 5 plays down there the whole season, and it was nothing but attitude. Their team was built on that running the ball personality. And like I say, I'm going to continue to say this. As a unit, offensive line unit, there was no better offensive line unit when it came down to that run game than Michigan.
I mentioned Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. Christian Hayes as well out of Connecticut too, I liked as well. Like, it's so hard to just limit this to just 5 because I could give you like 3 or 4 more guys, but we'll be here till sundown if we talk about it. But to see what each of these guys do with their opportunity. And again, it's a line of scrimmage game, Mike. We talk about this. One of the very first things you taught me, you build your house from the ground up. So it's like, if you don't have a sound lineman to control the line of scrimmage, everything else is really irrelevant.
It's just ratifying. Big dudes who can move like that, they're not too many in the world. You know, so, and they're not the sexiest pick, but if you want to win Super Bowls, you're going to have them guys on your team.
And let's look at what the Steelers have done too. I mean, with Broderick Jones, who's hopefully the next iteration of that, but I think back of like, Alan Faneca, I think about Pouncey, I think about Dermoni Dawson, Mike Webster. Like, it's I could go on and on and on, but it's part of the fabric.
Full Hall of Famers.
It's part of the fabric of Pittsburgh Steelers football. And when you think of greats like, you know, say a Jerome Bettis, or it's like I could go on and on and on and on. It's of that level of importance. And that's why I wanted to see the Steelers draft the linemen last year, because it was like, look, David DeCastro is a multi-time all-pro player. You needed to replenish that cupboard, if you will, when it comes to the line of scrimmage and the importance of that in playing football, even in the 21st century. I know the style of play has changed a lot in terms of what succeeds really earlier on in the season. But come late in the year, that physicality, football is the same sport. You're going to need the big guys up front. Let me recap really quickly, too. So top five interior linemen, Graham Barton, Jackson Powers, Johnson, Zach Frazier. And then in some order, I really like Christian Hayes, Cooper Beebe, Zach Zinter as well. I cheated a little bit. I did interior linemen, so I did centers and guards. I hope perfect. Just given that we've done this pod for 5 years, you'll be able to forgive that sin.
I got you. No, I'm on your time. So whatever names you name, I'm just describing them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Ike, that's understandable with your scouting responsibilities. In the coming weeks, so we have a lot to talk about. So leading up to the draft, we're going to keep doing these position breakdowns, top five by position. I'll go through what I've seen in my own analysis. So Ike, just to give a roadmap for our listeners and future shows, we're going to have defensive linemen. So it'll be tackles and edge rushers. The next time we talk, leading up to the draft, we'll have running backs and linebackers, corners and receivers, and then the day before the draft, quarterbacks and safeties as well. So a lot to talk about. We'll have full reaction of what the Steelers do with each of their draft picks. And then, again, between now and May 2nd, you're picking up fifth-year options, Najee Harris, Justin Fields. So then you get into minicamp. Like, week one's going to be here before you know it. It's a 365 thing. You know, we'll have the schedule release too here in the coming weeks too. So a lot to talk Steelers football, NFL with you here on the Believe in Steelers show.
Hey man, it's about that time. Once the draft starts, you start looking at rosters, you start looking at team needs. Then after the draft, yep. Going to your mini camps, then, you know, after your mini camps, summer goes by so fast because it's damn near football year round, not NFL football, but it's some kind of football year round before you know it. Mark, we're back into training camp. And once training camp hits, it's all downhill. So it's going to be exciting. These past 3 months will be very exciting. April, May, June, July. Once July hits, it's NFL time. But, yeah, you know, leading up to this draft, man, I just love these stories. And from a scouting perspective, shout out to all the scouts who, you know, boots on the ground and putting their work in and evals and away from their families, man. It's not for everybody. So I tip my hat to these scouts.
There's going to be a lot too with Pittsburgh too, Ike, because I don't think every single need is going to be addressed. I think a lot of them will be. I think you're getting really close. I look at a guy a year ago. Steelers signed Quan Alexander a year ago in late July. Key contributor, playmaker for the team this last year. So even if Pittsburgh doesn't get every single need in the draft, their depth, their best player, what have you, there's still talent out there when it comes to the free agent world. It's an unfortunate part of the game. Injuries are inevitable. Still a lot to be done when it comes to this roster. And I'm going to say one other thing too, and I'll land here. What Omar Khan did a year ago at the draft in his aggressiveness, what he's done this offseason, revamping the quarterback room, where if you'd have told me at the start of the offseason that your three quarterbacks, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph, would all be gone. And now you got Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Kyle Allen. We'll see if you get another quarterback in the draft. I have no doubt in my mind that Omar Khan has a plan and he's going to be ready to roll come April the 25th, round one of the 2024 NFL draft. I cannot wait, Ike Taylor.
You know, Khan has got a lot of stuff going on, man. He laser focused. With the young generation, they put Khan's Omar face on Lil Yachty when he came out for that.
The Wire.
I don't know if it was the Rolling Loud concert.
You're talking about the rap concert, not the. See, I always see the one where he's in The Wire, where it's like Omar's coming.
Omar got a few. So Omar got his name on the Scarface one. He got his name on The Wire coming around the corner, talking about that's O. And the young generation put his face on the Lil Yachty for the Rolling Loud. So Omar got three people we talking about, but Omar been on a goddamn roll. You know, his last draft class was a hit. But he's been laser focused. He's been chomping at the bit. He waited 20 years, and you can tell that all he wants to do is help this team hoist and Lombardi. So shout out to my dog, O. I just sit back and watch him move, and he's moving strategically.
Mike, before I let you go, next week for the draft, are you going to be back in Pittsburgh with the Steelers organization?
Yes.
Where are you going to be watching that? Where will we be for the actual draft?
Yeah, I'll be in the room.
Excellent. Excellent. Ike, get you out of here. It's Friday. We'll be back early next week. Again, position breakdowns. Another episode of Believe in Steelers. Thank you to betonline.ag. Thank you to the listeners and the viewers, Ike. Apple and Spotify, Believe in Steelers. Please leave us a 5-star review. Help us out on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Make sure y'all subscribe for us. Give us a 5-star rating. Go to YouTube. Check us out. Apple Podcasts. We show little clips on our social media when it comes down to IG posts and Twitter posts. So just want to appreciate everybody for just tuning in and locking in with us. Want to thank Believe and Steelers for rocking with us. Want to thank my co-host, Mark. Also want to thank the viewers for tuning in. Got to thank BetOnline.ag for rocking with us since day one. Anytime y'all got a bet, regardless of what the sport is, make sure y'all go to BetOnline 365, 24/7. BetOnline.ag.
He's swagging you, Ike Taylor. I'm Mark Bergen. Thanks for watching Believe in Steelers. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. So long, everybody.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.